This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cheating in baseball is more sacred than being a good guy. Like, Mickey Mantle, not a good guy. Babe Ruth, not a good guy. You know, the old story about Babe Ruth being in the hospital because he ate too many hot dogs. Now, the dude had gonorrhea because all he did was, you know, have sex with hookers two at a time. Maybe four at a time. There's a difference in sticking a needle in your rear end to make yourself better and going out and drinking and having some fun with the boys and carousing. So when we think of Jose Canseco, we think of lunatic, pariah. You think of Jim Bouton, you're like, that's a classy guy. Yeah. It was good. It was a really good book. It's very strange.
Rest in peace to Jim Bouton. Thought he definitely deserved at least a mention this morning on Ben and Woods, because I don't know if they're sports talk radio. I mean, everything's different.
Yeah, it is.
Without Ball 4 and Jim Bouton.
And coming up next, our top 10 best sports books of all time.
That was my idea.
On Ben and Woods.
We didn't actually end up doing
No, that. But we got to mention, like, Juice. I think we all have books that we've
Moneyball
loved in sports.
I love Moneyball.
I like the movie better.
Okay, fair enough.
John
the book
Wooden's
didn't
book.
Have Brad Pitt.
Game
so.
Plan for Life, John Wooden. That's for me.
Oh, yeah. John Wooden's a G.
All right, let's get out and play a little Real or Fake right now on Ben and
Woods. Let's do it.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Delmar racing season starts next week, runs through September 2nd. We got a four-pack of tickets on the line this morning here on Real or Fake. We'll play five rounds. Whoever scores the most in our game will win. Our competitors this morning are Thomas in Delmar, Nate in Lakeside. Guys, you'll go head-to-head on today's category. If you can separate the real from the fake, that is your ticket to victory. And here's what we've got for you guys. The ESPY Awards took center stage on one of the quietest sports nights of the year, but how close were you paying attention to ESPN's Oscar invitation? Today on Real or Fake, I will name an award category. You will tell me if that is a real category at the ESPYs or a fake I have thrown into the mix to confuse the situation. Thomas, you are contestant number one. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning.
All right, so I will give you the category. If it's a real category, say real. If you think I just made it up, say fake. Easy enough?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Round one, Thomas. Real or fake? Best Sports Center anchor. Real or fake ESPY Award?
Real.
No, they did not honor their own at the ESPYs, just athletes. That's okay. Nate, let's go to you. You get a chance to take a little early lead. Let's try this one. Nate, real or fake, best ESPY category, best referee or umpire? Is that an ESPY category or not?
Oh, just said it was only players. Are referees players? I would say it's fake.
Fake, very good.
Well, some referees and umpires think that they're
trying to give you a hint, but maybe you took a hint out of that one. All right, Thomas, round number two. See if you can get on the board here. Let's try this one. Best upset, real or fake ESPY category, Thomas?
Fake.
No, they actually had best upset. I don't know who won that one last night, but they did have it. All right, Thomas, just hang on. Nate, you got a chance to take a 2-0 lead. Real or fake, best bowler, real or fake?
Wow, I'm going to say that it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, they gave an award for best bowler last night.
Hold on, real quick. Ben, name a professional bowler.
Dick Weber.
I thought it was Pete Weber.
Pete Weber.
Is it Pete Weber? Did I get a sports
question? He was in the 80s when I used to watch bowling.
Dick
Weber. I can't remember anyone else, but there was a bunch of Webers.
A lot of Webers. Yeah, Dick Weber.
Thomas, you are now down 2-0, so let's get going.
Uh-oh.
Real or fake ESPY category, best Fortnite player, real or fake?
Fake.
Yes, it is. Fake.
For now, it's fake.
For now.
Do the Padres do that award at the end of the season?
I hope not.
The Heart and Hustle.
Nate, you're perfect so far, round three. Real or fake, best touchdown celebration, real or fake?
Oh, man. Best touchdown celebration, real.
They should have that one,
they
but
should.
They don't.
They don't.
That is not one of them. That's a fake. All right, so Thomas, you got a chance to tie things up here in the round four. Real or fake, best esports moment, real or fake?
All right.
Fake.
No, that actually was a real category.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they didn't have best Fortnite player, but they did have best esports moment, and I think it was a Fortnite moment that won it.
They're not sports.
All right, Nate, you've got a chance. If you get this one right, you actually wrap up our competition. Let's try this one. Real or fake, best driver? Real or fake, Nate?
Ooh, best driver, huh? In sports, NASCAR is the most popular sport in the whole nation. You could say it's real.
Yes, it is real. Yeah. NASCAR is not the most popular sport in the whole nation, but you are the winner, Nate, of today's real or fake competition, 3-1. Best WWE moment, Woodsy, real or fake?
Real.
Real. Best NBA dance team, real or fake?
Real.
No, fake.
Fake.
All right, congratulations, Nate. We'll send you to Del Mar. Four passes for the races, which open on Wednesday and run through September 2nd. And that, everybody, is real or fake.
That was real or fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we get a chance to chat with one of our friends, longtime friends. NFL training camps open in just a couple of weeks. The first exhibition game is 22 days away. Hard to believe that NFL season is around the corner.
Really?
Rick Gosselin, Hall of Fame voter, longtime columnist in Dallas, and friend of Ben and Woods, going to talk about the stories and headlines we'll be looking at in the next couple of weeks in the NFL and beyond. That is next with Rick Gosselin on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Is it finally Don Coryell's turn to get into the Hall of Fame next year? There's a good chance of it. Rick Gosselin, one of the longtime voters for the Hall of Fame, going to join us in just a moment here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Padres fans, don't forget you can get an instant breakdown of every game. The second half starts tomorrow. Just go to our daily 3-Up, 3-Day Padres video recap on Facebook at 97.3 The Fan. Follow us, add your thoughts to what happened during the game on our Facebook page at 97.3 The Fan. Padres play here. I am very excited for the second half of the season. This endless break just seems to be endless. I don't know why. 4 days never goes quickly for me.
It doesn't. I hate this week. I love the All-Star game. I love the Derby. You can't keep me away, but then I go into a deep depression until the season starts again. Thank God it will start again tomorrow. Well, tonight, actually. Astros-Rangers, is that correct? One game
tonight.
It's
just tonight. The one. It used to
I'm
be,
fine
it
with it.
It used to be that most teams had a 3-day break, and then a few of them started getting a 4-day break, and now everyone almost gets a 4-day break, and there's only the one game tonight. I mean, for the players, I get it. They probably should be 4 days. Three is too short, especially for the guys who actually go to the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah.
This allows them at least to have, you know, like 2 nights off to see their family before they jump right back into the, you know, final. What Padres have 72 games left, I believe. They played 90. 72 left. They're at 500. They had some new over-under revised win totals that came out yesterday. We're going to get to all that coming up as well today. But it's a grind. I mean, the baseball season is a grind, and you know, players need this little break to get through the second half of the year.
Yeah, they do, man. Very important.
All right, we're going to talk a little football coming up here. I can't believe that the season is just around the corner. You're going to have teams reporting to training camp here within the next 2 weeks. First preseason game is the 1st of August. Everyone else hits the field the week after that, and then before you know it, you're going to be setting your fantasy. You're going to do your fantasy football draft. You're going to be setting lineups again, and we will be fully into fall. We just had the 4th of July.
I know.
How can it already be football season?
It's crazy, and I, you know, I wrestle back and forth. I'm like, is it too early to start talking football? Every friggin' show I turn on is talking football. I'm like, well, I'm not going to be the last guy talking it. So I think it's important. I mean, look, big football fans on this show, can't wait. Love to. I can't wait to gamble on the air again like we did at the last place. That bit was amazing. It's time. It's time to start easing you in to the upcoming season.
All right, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Joining us right now from the Talk of Fame Network, we love talking football with this guy, Rick Gosselin, with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Rick, it's good to have you back on Ben and Woods, our new radio home. How's the summer treating you?
Too hot here in Texas.
It is. That
it is. We had heat advisories yesterday. It was over 100. It was unbearable. I need to head north in the summers.
How about west? I left the DFW area 10 years ago for San Diego, and my parents can't even get me home for a visit anymore, Goose. This is where I'll die.
But you're a rich radio guy. So I was a poor guy. I got to go north.
I think I made more money as a waiter, but I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. But it's great, man.
So, Goose, Talk of Fame Network, I mean, you got a bunch of writers, Hall of Fame voters, and I know you guys cover it extensively. I'm very intrigued by what has been proposed for next year. So next year, Woodsy, I don't know if you know this, is like the 100th anniversary of the NFL, 1920 to 2020. And what they want to do is have a special extra-large class for the Hall of Fame, a centennial class.
I love that.
Which could rectify a few wrongs, Rick. And when one of those, then, at least in the minds of a lot of people here in San Diego, is Don Coryell, who's been a semifinalist many times. He's been a finalist a couple of times. He's been talked about in that room. But it's so hard to put him in when you've got a limited number every year. This could be the ticket that finally gets Don Coryell into the Hall of Fame.
Okay, let me just say one thing. This is a centennial celebration. This is not a chance to ram guys who have been overlooked in the last three decades into Canton. We got to go back and look at the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. It's a 100th anniversary class, not the latest is the greatest class. So Coryell's going to have competition. For the first time ever, there are going to be two separate coaching slots. You got Tom Flores would be competition of the more recent vintage. Buddy Parker won two NFL titles with the Lions in the 50s. Clark Shaughnessy, the inventor of the T formation and also the defense to stop the T formation. I mean, these are going to be very competitive spots. Coryell, I'm sure his name will come up. But again, you got to keep in mind, this is a centennial class to celebrate 100 years of football, not the last 30.
Because you needed the job to be harder than it already is every year. I can't even imagine how tough it's going to be.
Yeah, I was talking to the Hall in initial stages the last couple of years, and initially they were talking, hoping to get 20 to 25 senior players in, and that still wouldn't be enough. I got a list in front of me right now of 90 players that I think need to be discussed, guys who've been overlooked. There are 65 all-decade selections in the senior pool, and 58 have never been discussed.
Wow.
If you're picked as one of the best players of your era, how can you slip through the cracks and miss that discussion of where you fit among the best players of all time? There are 7 first-team all-decade players in the senior pool. If you're a first-team all-decade player, that is a rubber stamp. There have been 145 first-team all-decade players through 2000. 94% of them are in. 7 are not. What did these 7 do? 6 of them have never even been finalists. It's a rubber stamp. How do these people slip through the cracks? You know, the most recent, Jimbo Colbert of the Bears in 1980, he's one of them. Drew Pearson, Cliff Harris, the Cowboys in the 70s, there are two more. And then you could go back 20s, Labby Dilwig, 30s, Ox Emerson, 40s, Al Wistert, Bruno Banducci. I think those 7 should be front and center in this discussion.
I think a guy named Labby Dilwig and a guy named Ox Emerson should be in there just for their names alone, Rick.
I feel like we're playing real or fake.
Ox Emerson is not in the Hall of Fame. That is it's a crime against humanity. It's Rick Gosselin from the Talk of Fame Network on with Ben and Woods this morning. So I know, Goose, obviously you're pretty entrenched in the Dallas Cowboys. We don't really have a football team here. So the good thing about us is we get to talk about anybody and everybody, whoever we want. One thing I did find pretty interesting is, the league did not come down on Ezekiel Elliott for yet another off-the-field incident, which, again, kind of a minor one. But they're starting to stack up for Zeke. And by all accounts, when he's on the field, Ezekiel Elliott is the best running back in the league, when he's on the field. Were you surprised that the league didn't pop him again?
No, it was a fairly inconsequential act. There were no charges involved.
Right.
I thought the fact that they flew him into New York was his public chastising. They made him come in where we need to discuss this. And I think he was sufficiently embarrassed enough. And you saw the statement. He was very contrite in his statement. I think the point the league was making is, hey, you got to stay out of these situations. You're a pro football player. You're a Dallas Cowboy. The spotlight shines brightest on you. You got to be smarter about the situations you put yourself in. I think that was the point of that. And I think that the underlying thing is, what are you going to do with Robert Kraft?
Ooh, yeah. That's kind of gone a little silent lately, to be honest with you.
If you had suspect Elliott for a game or two or four, I think there are a lot of 1,300 players in this league. Okay, what are you going to do now with Robert Kraft? If you're going to suspend a player for something inconsequential, what are you going to do with Kraft and what he did? And I think the fact that they let Elliott off the hook kind of indicates they may let Kraft off the hook.
I've always wondered if Roger Goodell went too over the top in terms of suspensions and punishments, and all of a sudden that turned into a giant story that the media covered. If there's not an outcry of fans saying, hey, your league is a bunch of criminals out there, you need to get them in line, suspending a guy just brings attention, unwanted attention to your league. The more you can brush under call me cynical, but the more you can brush under the carpet and not suspend and punish guys for, the better off your league probably is. You don't want these guys to not be on the field. They're who people are coming out paying money to see.
Well, you can talk about Elliott here. I mean, there's a good chance the Cowboys are a Super Bowl team. I mean, they got a top five defense. They got the best running back in football. They got a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. Amari Cooper gives them a downfield passing game. They got one of the best offensive lines in football. This could be a Super Bowl team. Now, what if the NFL suspended Elliott for two or four games? It's not the same team.
Yep.
So now your suspension would impact competitive balance, and especially in regards to the Cowboys. But this team has Super Bowl hopes. Without Elliott for a chunk of the season, those hopes would diminish some. So I think, when you talk about that, not suspending Elliott is probably, certainly warmly received in Dallas. And it's a headline the NFL doesn't need. Elliott suspended two games, four games, or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Rick Goslin, the Goose, from the Talk of Fame Network here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Goose, obviously the Cowboys have those expectations every single year. When you look around the league, you look at some of the player switching teams, who do you like early? I know it's very early and we haven't seen all the injuries and everything else, but when you look at their roster on paper, you're like, you know what, these guys are charged and they're poised to make a run.
I think in the NFC East, I look at Philadelphia. I think the Cowboys think they're Super Bowl contenders. I think the key is Carson Wentz. Now, 2 years ago, he was having an MVP season before he went down that 13th week with that knee. If he comes back, if he plays like he did 2 years ago, Philadelphia may be the best team in the NFC. I think the NFC North and the NFC South are competitive top to bottom. And I think it's going to be hard for a team in that neither of those divisions get the top seed. I could see a team from the West or the East getting the top seed, and then that's your ticket to the Super Bowl. I think the Rams take a step back. The Gurley thing is really troublesome for the contract he has and the health issues he has. Seattle's always going to hang around, but they're not the team they were with that defense 2 and 3 years ago. I wouldn't be surprised if either Philadelphia or Dallas comes out of the NFC. Out of the AFC, my sleeper is the Colts. Andrew Luck is back. He had a great season. They had three really good drafts now in a row. I mean, this is a young team that's on the cusp. And this kind of reminds me of those early Cowboy teams in the 90s when, Jimmy was drafting all those young guys and had, basically a star nucleus under the age of 25. I think the Colts could be in that mix. And the Chiefs. Look what Patrick Holmes did in his first year as a starter. Quarterbacks usually make the biggest jump between the first and second years. If this guy gets better, how much better can he get? He was the MVP last year. If he's going to be a quarter better than last year, then you got to look at the Chiefs.
Doesn't have quite as many weapons around him as he did last year, but maybe he can make up for that. Talking to Rick Goslin from the Talk of Fame Network here on Ben and Woods. You wrote about the Patriots recently, Rick, and how they are the parity immune team in the NFL. That the league is designed, Woods, to help the bad teams get better and to make the good teams make it harder for them through the draft, through the salary cap, all those things. Try to even things out. Everyone should be 8-8. Yet we're going now almost on 20 years of the Patriots being a double-digit win team every single year in a Super Bowl contender. A lot of that, of course, is Brady and Belichick. Is there something else, though, some other secret to that sauce, Rick?
Yeah, the complete incompetence at the AFC East.
Yeah, terrible division.
Miami,
terrible.
They have been spinning their wheels for two decades. There's no competition. So every year, the Patriots start out 6-0 in East. All they have to do is win six more games, you get the home field.
Yep.
I think the division is so bad. That's big. But bottom line, it's a quarterback league, and they've got the best quarterback. And as long as Tom Brady is Tom Brady, they're going to be the team to beat. But it really helps having that division where you know you got six homecoming games against the East.
Speaking of quarterbacks, you also tried to put a number on where Drew Brees fits in all-time quarterbacks. And I've always thought he is one of the toughest cases out there. Of course, started his career here in San Diego. I got to see him early, and honestly, I didn't see much. I thought there was very little potential for Drew Brees to be even a functionally average quarterback. I thought he'd be kind of a below average guy. To his credit, you know, he put in the work, and you know, something clicked, and he turned into a revelation with the Saints. But why do you struggle so much in trying to figure out where he belongs in the history of quarterbacks?
Well, I'm not struggling. He's not in my top five. He's not in my top 10. He may not be in my top 15.
Wow.
I mean, this is a different. It's a different era. I mean, it's become a game of pitch and catch. They've neutered the defense. You can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit the receivers. The offensive lineman can hold. You know, if you're a quality quarterback, you ought to complete 65% of your passes, throw for 4,000 yards, and 40 touchdowns. And a quarterback should have better than that, throw for 5,000 yards. Now, if you put Joe Brees back in the 60s when Unitas played, Bart Starr played, and you could hit quarterbacks, he wouldn't be the same guy. Put him back in the 40s. Sammy Baugh, who's in my top 10, also played defense. He led the league 1 year in passing, punting, and interceptions. Where would you put George Blanda? Also played linebacker in the 40s, in the 40s and 50s for the Bears. Where would you put Tom Brady and Drew Brees on defense in a game of two-way football? You can't look at the quarterbacks. You can't judge them by their stats. You have to judge them by dominance of their era. And I still have John Unitas as my number one guy, Tom Brady second, because Unitas is the reason all these guys are getting $100 million contracts. Unitas made quarterback the focal point of NFL football in the 1950s. That first national televised title game in 58, he was the star of the show. He brought glamour to the position. And right now, NFL teams are paying for that glamour. They're giving these guys $100 million contracts. They all ought to give the Unitas Foundation a cut of those contracts, because he's still the guy. But on Brees, when I did my list, I did a top 12, and then I said, okay, we can start discussing Drew Brees at 13. In that discussion is Aaron Rodgers, Norm Van Brocklin, Sid Luckman, Steve Young. You know, is he your 13th guy? Is your 14th, 15th, 16th guy? He's probably the 15th or 16th guy on my list.
I agree with you, although if he was named Ox Brees, yes, or Drew Dilwey, he's in the top 10 for
first
sure.
First ballot.
Ox Brees. Rolls off the tongue.
Goose, it's good catching up with you. It's been too long. I'm sure we'll have plenty of reason to chat as the training camps get open here later in the month. Thanks, man.
Welcome back.
Thanks,
Rick Gosselin from the Talk of Fame Network.
Little Shefty bomb just now. Did you guys see
what?
This?
No, I'm not on Twitter at the moment.
Los Angeles running back Melvin Gordon has informed the Chargers that unless he receives a new contract, he will not report to training camp, and he will demand a trade. We all kind of knew this was coming with Melvin, didn't we? We'd seen this playing out over the last couple of years.
I said before, if I was Tom Telesco and the Chargers, I'm not giving him a long-term deal.
The running back position, as much as he's banged up,
he's surprised me in how much he's developed and how good he's become, but it's the running back position.
Yep.
I just don't think he's that much of a difference maker that – yeah, you know, if he's on my team, I'm glad to have him.
Absolutely.
But I'm not giving him $90 million
to
break down like Todd Gurley in a couple of years, is probably going to happen.
And I don't want a surly Melvin Gordon on my team. So
trade him.
Melvin Gordon, welcome to Buffalo, my friend. It's going to be a fine run for you, all right?
I'd say trade him. Although, you know, the Chargers consider themselves Super Bowl contenders this year. They do need Melvin Gordon if they're, you know, if they really think they're on that level. So they're gonna have to kind of smooth things over somehow Now they're in a tough position going into training camp. Interesting Shefty bomb.
Ben just got a wry smile on his face. He just got like a shot of energy, and now he's excited because, well, Ben likes when bad things happen to the Chargers, so it's good.
We haven't had a really lot to talk about this past month about that.
Seriously.
All right, let's get into the big rumor. Is Noah Syndergaard coming to the Padres?
I can't.
They're talking about it again. We will talk about it next with Ben and Woods. Do not go anywhere. Thursday morning, second half of the show next on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.